It is a wonderful blessing to be here with you, to worship with you, to sing, to pray together, to study God's Word together. And as we come together tonight, my intent is to share with you some information about what people called end times studies. The second sermon ago talked about Matthew 24, and the purpose of that message was to help us see that no one knows when the Lord is going to return. The Bible consistently tells us that the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night, in which everything is going to happen without us knowing of that day and that hour. And all of those signs in Matthew 24 that so many preachers are using to say we know that it is near time for the Lord to return just is not what Matthew 24 is teaching us. And then my last sermon that I preached last week was intended to help us see that there is not going to be a time when the Lord is going to come to this earth and set up a 1,000-year reign, as some people are teaching. The Lord is going to have the kingdom delivered to the Father when we are raised from the dead, and we are going to be delivered to the Father, and that is going to be where we will be. There is no there are no signs of the coming. There will be no 1,000-year reign if we understand, I think, what the Bible teaches. And tonight I want to spend just a few minutes with you talking about the rapture. I want you to think about some of the teaching that comes up. Some of you will remember Brother G.K. Wallace. When I was a student at Fried Hardeman in the third year program back in the school year 1967 and 68, had Brother G.K. Wallace for a course that we then called denominational dogmas. And he would teach us about things that are being taught in the religious world out in Christianity. And one of the things that we talked about was premillennialism. And he was trying to help us see how teachings get started. And he was looking at Matthew 24, and he was trying to help us understand that. And he said that he heard a preacher talking about the end time and when things are going to happen at the end. There's going to come a time when there will be those people that are taken. And he said there are people that begin looking at that. But he said people use teaching of the Bible in an unusual way. Matthew 24 and verse 17 says, "Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house." Now, this is talking about the tribulation that's going to come at the time when Jerusalem was going to be taken over, the temple was going to be destroyed, when Jesus was answering that question, "Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house." Brother Wallace said he heard a man teaching that this passage taught him that women were to wear their hair up and not down. If their hair was long, their hair would ought to be up. And the man used just half of the word, and he said, because the Bible says top not come down, you don't let your hair down. Well, I think that most every one of us could see that is not exactly what that passage is saying. And in fact, it just seems absurd that anyone would want to use those words in that way. And yet, we see people doing a number of things with the Word of God that just do not fit what all the Bible teaches. Tonight, as we think about the rapture, I want you to understand from this gentleman who is explaining what the term rapture means. He is one who believes. The first few slides are going to come from individuals who believe that there will be a rapture, and those people that are raptured will be taken to heaven. I want to take a look at some of the definitions, and these definitions come from individuals who believe in this concept. And I'm doing that purposefully and sharing so many words with you you on the screen so that you can see that I am trying to teach you what they are teaching. I'm not asking you to accept it, but I'm wanting you to know that this is what is being taught. Well, the term rapture itself is derived from the Latin Vulgate, which is a Latin translation of the Bible, and it comes from 1 Thessalonians 4 and 17, where the expression that Billy read, I don't remember, he read from the New American Standard, but there are several different translations, but caught up, and we're going to be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. But this expression, caught up, is translated by this Latin term, rapturo. The English word rapture, though, never appears in Scripture, but it is synonymous with the idea that living Christians at the time of the coming of Christ are going to be caught up, raptured, is what is the term that is being used. And when they are translated, they're going to be raptured or caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, this begins a series of events that are taught by many people who believe in premillennialism. And I want to remind you again that I've said there are several different variations of teaching. And so you may have some slight different variation. You may hear some slight different variation. But generally, what is said about the rapture is what is believed, that those that are members of the body of Christ and are in a right relationship with God are going to be caught up, raptured, to meet the Lord in the air. Now, in a book by Hal Lindsey, several decades ago now, he popularized the concept of the rapture. Many people read his book, and as we see what he has said in the book entitled The Late Great Planet Earth, we see a lot of what people have come to accept and believe. And so because he has been so powerful and forcefully responsible in great part for popularizing this teaching about the rapture, I will be talking to you about what he has said in his book. He says this rapture is the ultimate trip. And this quote says, those who are alive to tell the story of Project Disappearance will try in vain to describe the happening which will verify the oldest secrets of God's Word. There I was, driving down the freeway, and all of a sudden the place went crazy. Cars going in all directions, and not one of them had a driver. I mean, it was wild. I think we've got an invasion from outer space. That's a quote from what Hal Lindsey is teaching people, that the coming of Christ to call those that are his children to rapture them, to catch them up in the air, to meet him in the air. That's the picture that he is drawing. And when you begin to look at what the rapture is about, according to this gentleman, Mr. Lindsey, you'll see why this story to him makes some kinds of sense. When you look at the six key parts to the doctrine of the rapture, and these are coming directly from Lindsey's Late Great Planet Earth. First of all, he says the second coming of Christ is different from and after the rapture. In other words, there are going to be two events. There's going to be the rapture, where the Christians are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and then later there's going to be the second coming of Christ. He says, we believe the Bible distinguishes between the rapture and the second coming of Christ. They do not occur simultaneously. A second point that he makes is that the rapture will be secret. Otherwise, would people be driving down the freeway and all of a sudden drivers disappear from cars because they're being raptured, they're being caught up to meet the Lord in the air? It's going to be a secret as we see what he says. In the rapture, also, only Christians will see him. It's a mystery, a secret. When the living believers are taken out, the world is going to be mystified. Two are going to be working in the field. One is going to be taken, the other left. Two are going to be grinding at the mill. One is going to be taken, the other is going to be left. Those that are left are going to be saying, what is going on? Where are these people? They were just right here. They are now gone. What is going on? You see, the rapture, according to Lindsay, is going to be a secret, and it will mystify all of the non-believers who are left on this earth. So, thirdly, he says, only the righteous will be raised at the time of the rapture. He says the wicked will be raised at the end of the millennium. Now, the millennium is going to come, but it's going to be after 7 years. Because, you see, that's the fourth concept of the rapture. The church will be in heaven for a period of 7 years, and this is during the Great Tribulation. Your presence during this seven-year period in history is entirely up to you. I think he's hit on something there. Our presence with the Lord or not with the Lord is entirely up to us. God opens up the message, and he's saying whether you are taken, whether you're raptured up or not, is going to be up to you. Because you are responsible for your relationship with God. You may be one of those who are mystified by the disappearance of your fellow man who happened to be Christians serving God properly, and you did not. The church is going to be in heaven, raptured, great bliss. Everything's going to be great. There are non-Christians, however, those people not in a right relationship with God, left on the earth, and they are going to be facing some of the most awful and difficult trials and tribulations and persecutions. And you see, the tribulation comes from the discussion in Matthew 24 and perhaps other passages that talk about the great tribulation that we mentioned already in this message and that I mentioned 2 weeks ago. When really, the text in Matthew 24 is talking about the great tribulation that the Roman army is going to bring with them when they come to destroy the city of Jerusalem, but especially in answer to the question the disciples asked, to destroy the temple of God. And so what you have is a very difficult time, according to this theory of the rapture, where Christians are in heaven in bliss. Those that are not faithful to God are going to be left on earth, and they are facing for 7 years many, many difficult times. The events on earth are going to continue. You see, those people grinding at the mill, they're going to keep grinding at the mill. Those people driving down the freeway, according to Lindsay, that are not Christians are going to continue to drive down the freeway. They're just going to be thinking, wow, what is going on here? Those believers, when they are removed from the earth before the great tribulation, they are going to be blessed. But Lindsay says that period of tribulation is going to be a period of the most ghastly pestilence, bloodshed, and starvation the world has ever known. That's going to be a very difficult time. But, he says, those people that are left on earth that are not faithful to God, they are going to be able to, if they choose, during this period of great tribulation, they are going to be able to turn to the Lord, and they are going to be able to become believers. They're going to be able to become faithful to God, and they're going to be able to be then later, at the second coming of Christ, they're going to be able to live with God in heaven and have the same bliss, the same blessings that those people that were raptured are going to have. So those are 6 points that you could think about as you look at the discussion of the rapture, especially as Lindsay sees that discussion. Now, what we want to do is take a look at what Mr. Lindsay and hundreds and hundreds of preachers are teaching today about the rapture and about what is going to happen. What does the Bible say? Well, first of all, if you take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul says, "And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and will destroy with the brightness of his coming." He's coming. The brightness means appearance. It's the same word of appearance. When the Lord appears, Paul says, the lawless one is going to be destroyed. You see, that isn't the case if you take the message of the rapture. Those people in the world, in the earth, where life is going to go on, they still are going to be able to do evil. They're still going to be able to do whatever they want to violate the will of God. But the teaching of the rapture says the Lord is going to give them a chance. The Lord is going to destroy this one who is responsible for the evil that is in the world, the lawless one, when he appears at the time of his coming. The Christians being caught up and the second coming of Christ are not separated by 1,000 years. That would be 1,007 years, actually, if you add the 7 years of great tribulation, as you think about what premillennialists contend. But the Bible teaches that when we are raised, we are all going to be raised at the same time. There won't be 1,007 years difference between the rapture, beginning of the rapture, and the coming of Christ. The second thing that the Bible teaches is that his coming is not going to be secretive. That was a part of Lindsay's presentation of the rapture. It's a secret. Only Christians are going to be able to see him. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and of the trumpet of God. It isn't going to be silent. It isn't going to be secretive. The Lord is going to come. Every eye will see him. In John chapter 5, it teaches us in verses 28 and 29 that all of the dead are going to be raised at the same time. Jesus said, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those that have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." We are going to all be raised at the same time. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a total answer to the concept of resurrection is not being responded to because it was not the concern of the people in Thessalonica. The concern of the people in Thessalonica was, what about my father or my mother or my spouse or my son or my best friend that was a great person? What about those people that have already died? What is going to happen to them when the Lord returns and we are raised to meet him in the air? Well, Jesus teaches us that all that are in the grave will hear his voice, and they that have done good, the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. There won't be 7 years of tribulation where people will have that second chance, and there won't be 7 years where Christ's people will be with him before the second coming. When he does come, we see then that all the dead are going to be raised at the same time. And as we come back to the slide in some way, beautiful picture there. I've seen that building somewhere before. It just didn't happen to be a part of my slide presentation. But the Bible teaches that Christians are not going to be with the Lord and then come back to the earth for 1,000 years. We're going to leave this earth forever when he comes. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 16, here's what Paul says. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an angel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. You see, we're always going to be there. It's not going to be 7 years and then coming back to the earth for a 1,000-year reign. We're going to be caught up in the air to meet Him, and we are always going to be with the Lord. And then verse 18 says, comfort one another with these words. Here is what is going to happen to those people that have died. He teaches us that they are going to rise first. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then they that are alive, they're going to be caught up to meet Him in the air. He's not trying to answer about the general resurrection. He's trying to help them see that those people that have died are not going to stay in the grave while the rest of you go meet the Lord. They too are going to meet with the Lord. And when we do, when we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, we are forever going to be with the Lord. Now, when we take a look at that particular section of Scripture, we see Jesus answering that question. Now, at His coming, people talking about His coming often refer to the parousia. That just means the coming, at the coming of Christ, His second coming. The earth, even the universe, is going to be destroyed. We studied last week about the kingdom in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 24. That kingdom is going to be delivered to the Lord at the coming of Christ. It is not going to be back here on the earth. We have read, and I'm going to read again in a moment from 2 Peter chapter 3, when we read about how the earth and the works that are therein are going to be burned up, and there will be no opportunity, as is described in the Great Tribulation, for people to work through that during that 7 years and come to the Lord. All of the people that are going to be raised are going to be, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, you remember the story? He's going to separate the nations like a shepherd separates sheep from goats. They that have been righteous and done those good things that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 25, those people are going to be put on the right. And He's going to say, enter into the joys of the Lord. You have helped me in these ways. Those that are on the left, those are people who did not do those things that God recommended for them to do, and that would be of personal help to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in that context, when all the nations are going to be gathered together and He's going to separate them like a shepherd separates sheep from the goats, those on the right are going to hear Him say, enter into the joys of the Lord. Those on the left are going to be sent away. They are going to hear the words that we read about in stories like the parable of the talents. Cast the unprofitable servants into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is at the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Those six premises upon which the rapture, the theory of the rapture, the teaching of the rapture is built, do not have a footing. They do not have a foundation in the Scripture. So as we think about what the Bible teaches, when the Lord returns, there will be no rapture, as this doctrine teaches, of Christians to be with God for 7 years and leaving those people who are not faithful to God on the earth to face tribulation with the possibility of turning to the Lord. We have our one chance now. If you are depending on the rapture, there's nothing that the Bible teaches that could help you, I hope, as you study the Bible and see what God says in these passages, that should give you any confidence. What you need to do is to think about what the Bible says here in 2 Peter chapter 3. Remember, verse 10 has already talked about the heavens are going to pass away, the elements are going to melt with fervent heat, the earth and the works that are therein shall all be burned up. Therefore, since all of these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. As you think about what the Bible teaches you to watch. That was the key command in Matthew 24. You do not know the day nor hour when the Lord is coming. Therefore, watch so that you don't get caught like someone whose house is being robbed by a thief who comes in the night and you had no idea it was coming. Everybody in this room, if you've been listening, you know the Lord is coming. You do not know when the Lord is coming. What you do know is that you must be prepared. And God has blessed your life tonight. All of us blessed our lives with an opportunity to be faithful to God tonight. And that's where almost every person in this room stands before God. But there may be someone who has never been born into the family of God. You've never chosen to repent of your sins, confess Christ's name. If it's because you've never been taught that, please seek out some of us and let's study. That's what the Bible teaches that you need to do. If you are a child of God and you have left the faithful relationship that you once had with God, come back. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. There will be no 7 years. There will be no 1,000 years. When we are raised from the dead, we're going to be separated into those that do God's will and those that do not do God's will while we're here in this world. And so we want to plead with you, to beg you, if you will, to be prepared to meet the Lord in the air and so forever be with Him. That may take a response from you. Our hope and our prayer is that if it does, you'll come as we stand and as we sing.